Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, good morning. Wow, there is such a presence of God here. Thank you for the worship, the whole worship team. Brother Willie, thank you for leading worship. Willie, I know you're putting your stuff away, but have you ever considered that what if in heaven God just turned on the loudspeakers and said, everyone for the next 20 minutes, we're just going to let Willie he's going to lead, and you just piped right into the throne room, Willie. You know, that's it. And you know what? Every time we worship, we should all say to ourselves, this is going right into the throne room. So I'm not actually going to preach this morning. Pastor Pam has a word that we were talking about, whether we would preach together. I have a word that I'm just going to spend 3 or 4 minutes on. I called her and she said she was excited because she had a word from God. And I said, "Well, is it a prophecy? Is it a what is it?" And she goes, "You can call it whatever you want, but it's anointed." So I want when Pam does come to speak, have your heart ready to receive, because I promise you, whatever she's saying, there's another channel, the Holy Spirit, what God wants you to receive from that. I had shared with the church that after Sister Rose, she was a member for many years, I actually preached her funeral in Indiana. And the next week, we were here at the church, and I went to get the mail, and she had written me a letter. That, you know, I'm holding a letter from someone I just preached her funeral, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, which makes me believe she must have written that letter hours or maybe a day before she passed on. And she was thinking about our church. She was thinking about the kingdom of God. I mean, it was a beautiful letter. What if I told you that there was a letter from Jesus that I found going through my stuff to you? That it was in a sealed envelope, and it is a sealed envelope because he seals his letter, the book of Revelation, with his blood, with his word, John's testimony. It's like they go out of their way to say this is true and correct testimony. I'm actually not going to preach from Revelation at all because I only just have about 2 or 3 minutes. I wanted to give you, it's not an assignment, it's an opportunity. Not to read the whole book of Revelation, but the first 3 chapters, if someone says, "Oh, the Revelation is difficult," not the first 3 chapters. There were times that Jesus spoke in parables and the disciples were like, "What are you talking about?" And other times he spoke clearly and they said, "Thank you, now we know what you're saying." So this letter from Jesus to you, to the churches, I was meditating on that thought that there's a letter from Jesus to me. Not just a letter that was written by Moses, which would be great, or Paul, which would be great, but a letter that was written from Jesus' own mouth, and John copied it down. And it's written to me, and it's written to you. And if you were to take those first 3 books and read them, which I want you to do, because it's to you. It's hidden from the world. And that's why the Revelation says over and over, if you have ears, hear it. If you have eyes, see it. This letter is from a friend. We see Jesus at the end saying, "I'm standing at the door knocking. Let me in and we'll be friends. I'll come in and friends." But you also see Jesus as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You see Jesus in his brightness. But even in heaven, you see him still with the heart of a servant, with him serving us. And it's like he says, I want to look, invite you into my home and show you what my home looks like, your future home, in the brilliance of the throne room. He's the firstborn. He is everything. So this is kind of like I'm telling you that as Pam comes up to bring a fresh word of manna, that we've also prepared a box lunch for you. It's amazing. Save this as fresh manna. But I would like you to read that because there, Jesus will speak to you. He will encourage you. He will challenge you. And it, I'm going to tell you something. The book of Revelation is a living word. It is alive. And if you approach it that way, what will happen? Revelation. Your eyes and ears will be open to your relationship with God. And that's what he does. He connects with us. So, Pam, I'm looking forward to the word, and we're ready for you. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Pam.
We're just kind of passing the baton around this morning a little bit, but that's okay. You know, that's kind of, you get a little bit of the double portion, and this is short people problems as usual. Short girl problems we have, but we can solve them. God has really put something heavy on my heart. It's been on my heart for a while, but it really came to me in the night, the other night, that was just something so profound to me. And I titled this message, it's kind of an unusual title. How are you guys all doing? Great? Okay. It's called The Bonus Years. The Bonus Years. That God gives bonuses. And I'm gonna get into that and I'm gonna explain that. But the Word of God says that with length of days and long life will I satisfy you. And many times when people are about to die and I'm ministering to them, I will go to them. I will actually ask them, are you satisfied with the life that you have lived? Are you satisfied that you finished your race? Or are you gonna contend for your healing and claim the promises of God? Because there's two things that are wonderful. One is healing and one is heaven. And does it really matter? Does it really matter? But it kind of does, because we want to be satisfied that we have done something while we're here on the earth, that we have left a legacy and an impact on this earth for our children and our children's children to receive that blessing. And so there are promises in the Word of God that if you fear the Lord, that he'll add to your life, add to your days. So if any of you would like to live a long life, you can honor your father and mother, you can fear the Lord, you can use the Word of God, and your life will be extended from what it was. We're not going to tape my part of this morning. It's not going to be for publication. I'm going to share with you from my heart and a word that God gave me for those of you who are sitting right here today. I want to tell you, some of you today, that you are living in the bonus years. First, I'm going to call some names. Willie, you're living the bonus years. You shouldn't be here, okay? Alan, you're living in the bonus years that God has given you. Wanda, you're living in the bonus years. Debbie Ramos, you're living in the bonus years. And so many of us are, but we don't often acknowledge that, do we? That God has added to our life and added an increase. And I'm going to share with you today one of my favorite Bible accounts, but I want to share something personal with you. I minister to exactly four people this week that have either terminal or very, very serious health diagnoses. And two of the people that I minister to, and all four are believers, two of the people I minister to basically told me the same thing. I'm going to accept that one girl who I know, she's very close in proximity, her home to my home next door, she said to me, she was going to see a cancer doctor. She said, I will accept the diagnosis that I am given today. Wouldn't even hear of anything else. Another woman said, I'm going to accept this. I have accepted this blindness. It will never change for me. I just wanted to, my heart sank. I do not accept such things. Not when there's promises in the Word of God that say otherwise. I will not accept those things. When Willie had the cancer, I was there in the room, in the emergency room. There's no way that we would ever accept such a thing. And we did not accept that. And there were two other people that came to me. And one of the persons came to my office and asked to speak to me and came into my office desperate for a miracle, just desperate, and said, what do you have to say to me? What can you say to me?
And I said, oh, I have plenty to say, but it's all the Word of God. Now, having talked about the first two people that I told you, they did not. They just said, I'm going to accept this. And so here's what my mind started thinking. So what you're telling me is the doctor gave you these terrible diagnoses and you believe them. You believe them and you accept it immediately. But when I give you the Word of God, you don't accept His Word. You accept their word over His Word. I just could not wrap my head around that. But the other person came into my office and said, what am I to do with this situation? And I'll tell you later what I told him, but I'm going to read to you a verse, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, that you may overflow with hope, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abraham believed in hope, the Bible says, against all hope. Now, let me give you the Pastor Pam New International Version translation of that. When there is no hope, there's still hope. When you're without hope, there is still hope. When there's no hope, there's still plenty of hope. There's still more hope when there is no hope. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But not with God. Not with God, there's always hope in God. You're never without hope. If you come to the end of the road and you're about to draw your last breath, there's hope. There's the hope of heaven. You're never going to be without hope. So I count on that. And so I told this person that there was hope. And I did tell them this. I said, right now, you and I are sitting in this office and you're explaining to me the problem and we are addressing a problem. But when I walk out of this office, I'm going to do something. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I leave here, I'm not going to talk about the problem anymore. I'm going to talk to the problem solver. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to find a wall, like that wall over there. And I'm going to turn my face to the wall and I'm going to cry out to God for the bonus years. I'm going to ask God, the God who is God of all hope, the God who is God of more than enough, I'm going to hit the wall, my face to the wall. I'm going to tune out everything that has been said up until this point. And I'm going to tune in on another channel, as Pastor Ken would say. I'm going to put my face to the wall, and I'm not ashamed to cry out to God on your behalf because you are my friend. And unlike my poor brother, Willie, we got to befriend him, okay? We got to get to know Willie today. Get to be his friend. All of you are my friends. I got friends. I'm going to share my friends with you, Willie. And I know what your heart is. Your heart is for Tony, and we get that. But I know a friend who's amazing. There he is. Jesus. 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 That's my best friend. I got to tell you, he is a good best friend. But there, I'm going to ask, sometime this week, I have a very, very, very close friend. Very, very, very close. Who was seeking a promotion, who was seeking out a promotion. And someone who was over that individual said this, this is what they're going to probably offer you. Ask for more. Ask for more. And you can get more. And something like fire went off inside me when he said that. And it's just like God spoke to me and said, ask for more. More years, more time, more opportunities, more talents, more gifts, more anointing. Ask for more. And it's just like I was undone all week long. It was in my spirit, with me at night when I went to bed, with me when I woke up in the morning. And that person who asked for more got more than the more. They were supposed to get 5%, asked for 10, and got 12. What if I told you that God wants to give you more and more and more than you could ever hope, you could ever dream, or hardly even ask for? But it's a good idea to ask. And sometimes we don't ask because we accept our diagnosis, or we accept our broken marriage. We accept our sickness without even almost realizing it, without saying, absolutely not. I will not accept this. And it will give you peace to say, I won't accept this. I accept the word of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? I believe the word of the Lord. And so Isaiah 38 tells a story that I just love. It is obviously the story now you know of King Hezekiah. And Isaiah 38, 1 to 3 said, in those days, long ago, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And I'm going to say something about that in a few minutes. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, came to visit him. And Isaiah was his pastor, basically. The pastor came to visit and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall surely die and not live. Now, Hezekiah was sick with a boil on his body, which was what we know today as bubonic plague. Okay? It was the bubonic plague. And so his pastor came for a visit. Now, Frida, pretend you're sick and you tell me it's really bad. It's really bad, right, Frida? But I'm going to come to visit you. I'm your pastor. Hey, how you doing, Frida? It's really bad, right? You're going to die. You're going to die. I got a word for you. Honey, I got a word for you. I got to tell you, you're not going to live. You know, that's the word. So I'm going to go away now. You know, you've got a word. What kind of pastor? What kind of? And by the way, I'm going to invoke the name of God. God basically said that you're going to die. Now, I want you to understand that in this context, he was not necessarily prophesying. He was warning him. Hezekiah was lifted up in pride, and this is more, I'm going to teach this actually sometime, but I can't today. But just suffice it to say, this was a warning. His heart, he had some pride in his heart. But sometimes, you know, Sandra was saying this the other day, sometimes maybe God allowing you to go through a situation, a heartache or whatever, sometimes God so redeems that and can so use that and it can so change you that it actually does a work in you, because that's how God does, right? So sometimes what's bad turns out to be good. And you know that, you understand that, the case of Hezekiah. But what kind of pastor would come and visit and go, you are not going to make it. You're not, you know, as a pastor, I kind of want to give some kind of hope. But this was a warning, and when God tells you to warn somebody about something, you best warn them. You best be obedient to God. And so, but here's the thing, and I want to share this. When we or someone we know has received bad news from someone in authority, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever, a prophet of God, a preacher, whatever it may be, someone that we feel is in authority, I just want to say this and say it one time, that's still not God. It is best to go directly to God. You know what? When the pastor said all he can say, and when the lawyers already told you it's bad news, and the doctors told you it's bad news, why don't you still decide to talk to God? I still choose to talk to God. No matter what they say, how many of you have ever heard the saying, they say, stop worrying of what they say and start worrying about what he says. Thus saith the Lord. So here's Hezekiah. He's got a real bad word from his pastor. Now that's kind of a downer right there. But and Hezekiah, something else interesting I noticed in this passage, that this is just part of teaching. I guess I'm a born teacher at heart. When God addressed King Hezekiah, he never called him King Hezekiah. He's never going to call you worship leader so-and-so, pastor so-and-so. He's just going to call you, hey, you, Frida. Hey, you, Pam. I know you. We're intimate. We get this. You know. And you know why he didn't call him King Hezekiah? There's one king. There's only one king. You're not it, Hezekiah. That's why he didn't call him king. God called him Hezekiah. You're not the king. It was never God's idea to have a king except him. Okay? So that's why he didn't call him. And by the way, he never did this in other passages with other kings in the Bible. He never called them king when he addressed them. He called them David, David the shepherd. David. He didn't, King David? Oh, no. I'm the king, David. I'm king of all kings. So that's just a side note. So then Hezekiah, 38:2, not King Hezekiah, plain old Hezekiah, turned his face toward the wall and he prayed to the Lord. There are so many things I love here. He didn't ask anybody else. He was at the end. He had already, you know, when you get to your pastor and your pastor doesn't have a word for you, and nobody has a word for you, it's time to go to the King of all kings, to go to the wall. And I'm not saying that other people can't pray for you, because the Bible indeed does say that we should pray one for another. However, you know, many people tell me, well, you pray for me, but they won't even pray for themselves. I'm the one doing the praying. You're the one doing the sitting at home. But Hezekiah decides, I better pray for myself. I'm the one in trouble here. If you're the one in trouble, you probably need to talk to God, your own self. You know, that's my opinion. So Hezekiah went directly to God. That was such a wise move on his part because he turned away from the problem and he turned away and tuned out the voices talking about the problem. If Job could have only tuned out those voices of those really foolish friends, he would have done better because, you know, he needed to hear from God. A word of a prophet may be good or not, as in this case, but a word from God is always greater. The word of the Lord is always greater. But King Hezekiah said something that really moved my heart. So I understand that it moved the heart of God because it moved my heart when I read it. And it's Isaiah 38:3 says, and said, remember God, remember, O Lord, I'm begging you, God, to remember something about me. I walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart. He didn't say I'm a perfect person. I've never sinned. He said, I have a good heart, God. Have you ever told God, I'm a good guy here. I'm doing the best I can, God. I'm doing everything. I'm trying to dot my I's, cross my T's. I come to church on Sunday, sometimes Monday too. God, I'm a good person. And this has happened to me. I've lived a faithful life to the best of my ability. So let me translate what he's basically saying. He's basically saying, doesn't faithfulness count for anything anymore, God? And it does. And it does. God honors faithfulness. You know why? Because he's faithful. He honors your faithfulness because he himself is faithful. And he requires that of us. So he's basically saying, and he's crying. He's weeping. The Bible says he wept very much. Do you know what this really means? He wept and he wept and he wept and he wept till he couldn't weep anymore. He literally wept himself almost sick. Crying out to God, calling on God. So I'm asking, first of all, he's saying, does faithfulness count anymore? And it does. But there's something else. Do you know that your sincere tears move the heart of God? God talks a lot in his word, and you know already that he bottles your tears. And you know that he even counts your tears. And so God talks a lot about how precious your tears are to him. You know, it's hard when you somebody, you know, I had that experience not long ago when I told you when Sandra came walking into my house in the morning and she sat down on the coffee table in the den and she just started pouring out tears. Just, you know, how can this be happening? Why is this happening? And I mean, immediately that moved my heart. You'd have to be so cold for that not to move your heart. And here she sits on the table, faithful to God, having done everything, having cleaned toilets, having done everything I know how to do, and here I am, Lord, and I need a miracle, and I need you, and there's nobody who can help me because the doctors don't know what's wrong. They've done every test, and according to them, nothing's wrong, but something is wrong, and Hezekiah's in this place, and this was his desperate cry for help, and the Bible says that as soon as Isaiah got to the middle of the courtyard, he had not even left the building. It's like I prophesied to Frida, you're not going to make it. And I start walking down the aisle and God says, go back to talk to Frida again. You are going to make it, Frida. And God's going to give you bonus years. And he's going to add to you not just bonus years. He's going to also fight your battles for you. He's going to fight the Assyrians that come against you on his behalf in Jesus' name. Fight your battles. And Frida goes, I need a sign, little. Okay, Frida, you need a sign. I'm a prophet of God. Well, you got it wrong the first time. I know you're a prophet of God, but one minute you're telling me that I'm going to die, and now you're telling me I'm going to live, and you're a prophet of God, so I think I'm going to need a sign. So the shadow, you know the shadow, you know the story about the shadow going backwards, that meant, and let me kind of, so here's what he says. The word came to Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, not King Hezekiah. Go say to Hezekiah, plain old Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Do you know that a lot of people these days are hard hearing? They're hard of hearing. And they miss things. They don't have a vision either. They're hard of hearing and they're kind of spiritually and their sight is a little bit off. But God's is not. He said, I heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And I'm going to add to your life 15 years. This is off the charts. I see and I hear. God hears and he sees things that others do not about you. And sometimes that can be a comforting word that God sees and hears. And other times it can be God sees and God hears. Not so comforting, is it? But to me, it's comforting. I need to know that God sees, that he hears, and that he's going to do something about it. And then God also, which I think this is a little bit unusual, he told Isaiah to get a lump of figs and lay it on the boil. Now, here's my thoughts on that. Was kind of funny. Like, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a pastor. I got to go and fix Frida's leg? What? I just gave her the word. You know, God's like, no, you're going to be the doctor now. You're working for me. You're on my clock. You go help her with that leg too. Do you know that's a word to us too? Don't just give somebody a word, a good word. Help them too. If you can do something as the Lord leads you. And so a very physical, God's letting us, as pastors, you're not just up here to give the word. There's some things you need to do on behalf of people too. Drive them to the hospital. Help them out a little bit. And he told Hezekiah something else that I also found funny. Basically, get yourself back in church. He did. He said, 3 days from now, you will, not you should go to church. He's like, you will go to church 3 days from now. You will be in God's house 3 days from now. And that's gonna. And he did the shadow thing. So when he turned the shadow back, this is so interesting because I did a little research on this. Do you know what that is? That's turning night into day. That's going backwards. If you are at night and you are in a bad situation, a dark, desperate situation, God's going to bring, he's going to bring the light to that. He's going to, and that's what Hezekiah wanted. And so I wanted to share just a couple things with you. We're not even going to go all that long, but we are going to do a couple things here today. I want to share a few things. First, God, it is God's will to heal you. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know who you are, but it is God's will to heal you. One of the, and that God has saw your tears. I don't care where you cried them. If you went home to cry, if you went to your mom's house, if you went to the altar to cry, God saw your tears and he has heard you. And God is a miracle working God. And I love that about our God, that he also wants to bless us, because God added so many things, like I said, to Hezekiah's life. He doesn't just do one thing. When God does it, he does it big. He's a big God. He's like, this is what you're asking for, but this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to do much, much, much more than you ever even asked me for. And I love that about God, that you come out better than you went in the fire. You know, does that make sense to you? You come out like gold. You go in the fire and you melt, but you come out like gold, right? Valuable, precious, and totally changed, refined, totally changed and transformed. And so I love that about God when he allows us to go through things. But God absolutely gives bonuses. But here's the thing that I want to get to. And this is not a very long service. But this is really what God just put on my heart. Do you know what Hezekiah did with this blessing, with this 15 years? Anybody know what he did with the 15 years that God gave him with the bonus years? Not good. Not good. What are you doing with your bonus years? What are you doing with your bonus years that God has given you by his grace and his mercy? What am I doing with all the years that God has given me, the bonus years? He blew through those years. He got, once again, pride was Hezekiah's familiar sin, if you will. He was in pride before he got sick, and God healed him. God restored him, even he repented. And now here we see when God gives him the 15 years, the bonus years, and heals him, he's back in pride. He went and showed all the riches of the kingdom to the enemy. He fathered a child, Manasseh, that turned out to be just, I mean, if you read about Manasseh, you're like, this is wickedness. This is just so wickedness. And he accepted gifts from the enemy. The enemy started sending him gifts because God healed him. And instead of giving his testimony, God has healed me, God has delivered me, God has blessed me, and giving the glory to God, he's like, look at all my riches. Look at all my stuff. Look at everything about me. He got lifted up in pride again. And he blew through basically the years. And I sometimes see that in our lives. that God has done so much and he's added so much increase because we are all blessed. Don't tell me you're not. Compare yourself to somebody. There's always somebody who is much worse off than you are. I mean, there seriously is. And we are so, so blessed. And we always acknowledge the problem, but we don't acknowledge the blessing so many times. That's what we forget about. We never forget about our complaints, do we? We just forget to praise him for the good things that he has done. You know, not long ago, I was talking to somebody, and a miracle that God had done in my life years and years ago came to me, and I was reminded of that. And I immediately repented and rebuked myself for not having thought of that in so long and not having shared that testimony in so long, because we should have those things ready on our lips at all times, because every one of us have experienced the miracles of God. And if you haven't, someone in your family has. God has done something for you. And so I wanted to share this. Hezekiah dishonored God. He became interested in material things. By the way, that's a huge, huge, huge trap. You know, I've got my health. Now I want things. You know, when you don't, you're not as interested in things if you don't have your health. But sometimes when we have our health, it turns around. It's like, now I want the new car. To God, you know, it's just kind of human nature, sadly, but we need to be praising God and thanking God, and we need to be helping others who are ill, and we need to be giving our testimony, because the way the Bible says we overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and also the word of our testimony. So if you're not sharing your testimony, if Hezekiah was not sharing his testimony, let me tell you, he was not living an overcoming life, because that keeps you straight by sharing what God has done in your life and by honoring the blood of the Lamb. And so I wanted to ask this today. There's so many times we should have been killed in a car accident, or we should have been given a bad diagnosis. I can remember so much the doctor telling me that it was most likely breast cancer. I can remember that. And I remember Sandra taking me out to Edwards Hospital for what was the third time they were doing an ultrasound. And I remember them coming in and telling me, said, I asked the girl, I said, so am I okay to go? She goes, no, you got to see the doctor. And I thought, the third time, this is just not good. And it was good. It was good. And I thought Sandra would collapse on the floor. I just went behind her and hugged her and I said, it's okay. And I could just see the tears in her eyes. And I said, it's God. It's God. It's only okay because it's God. It shouldn't be okay. There are people that are going to walk out of this cancer center today, and they're going to have a paper in their hand that says you need to see an oncologist. There are so many people, but not me. The grace and the mercy of God that follows every one of us who serve God. And I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to good people or God's people. They do, but there's healing and there's deliverance. And many of us, Wanda, back here, stage 4 cancer, Wanda. How come you're here today? Because of God. Because of the grace of God. Because prayer, like Hezekiah's prayer. Because the prayers we pray and the prayers we pray for others. When I talked to Lesvia Call, and just like, you need to pray for me. And I'd already talked to Tony. We've already had a talk 2 weeks ago, and we're praying. We're praying. Our back's against the wall, so we're going to turn around and get our face against the wall. That's what we're going to do. That's the plan. So I want Pastor Ken to come. Pastor Ken's just going to play some worship music for us. This has just been on my heart. I want you all to stand with me for just a minute, and I want you to acknowledge just in your heart the bonus years that God has given to you, the many, many, many things that God has given to you, and you're going to be able to think of them. I'm asking God that he will bring them to mind, the things that God has done, the relationships that he's restored in your life, the many, many times that he has healed you, the many, many times that it could have, it should have, but it didn't because of God. And I want to invite you. We haven't done this in a very, very long time. I want to invite you to come to this altar if you need a miracle of any kind. If you need God to do something in your life, to move in your life on your behalf, just come and stand here. Anything at all if you need God. Maybe you don't. I know I do. I'm here. My heart is standing right here. I need things from God that I can't accomplish on my own. If it gets done, it's only because God's going to do it. And if you've ever had a miracle, if God has ever done anything in your life and you acknowledge him, come to this altar also. If God has ever healed you, done anything, added anything to your life, a blessing, come to this altar right now. Because some of you are here because God has spared your actual physical life. Some of you are here because your face is against the wall. See that wall there? That's my wall. That wall where the cross hangs is my wall. That's the wall I face and ask God, do a miracle in my life. Do a miracle in my life. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus, probably more than anybody in the building needs you, Jesus. I'm willing to say, I need you, Jesus. And I'm turning to you, Father God, on behalf of all who are broken, who are hurting, Father God, who have relationships that need to be restored and mended, Father God. All of us, Father God, who just have a brokenness deep inside our heart, and we can't shake it, Father God. We just feel brokenness, Lord. Father God, I ask you in Jesus' name for all of us who are facing challenging days, days, Father God, that just seem so hard to face, Father. I ask in Jesus' name that you would do a miracle. Father God, we are your people and you are our God. And Lord, if we were to go back in time, we would do things so differently for the past 15 years. I would make different decisions, Father God, than I made this past 15 years. I would do the things you told me to do, and I would leave off the things you told me not to do. But, Father God, we stand here in the opportunity of 15 years before us, Father God. So, Father God, we're going to enter these bonus years that you've given us starting right now, and we're going to thank you for things that we don't even see yet, miracles that we don't know. Father God, I know you're going to perform miracles on our behalf. And Father God, I will never accept the word of the enemy, but only your word, the promises of God. So I'm asking for each person here that you would anoint them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, and that whatever they're asking, Father God, I ask that you would grant them that request just like you did Hezekiah. If you did it for Hezekiah, who was a prideful man, he was a prideful man, an arrogant man. Father God, he made a million mistakes, just like King David. But Lord, you honored him and you did this. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? Like Willie's song, you did it because you love us. And Lord, you did it out of mercy and grace because we surely did not deserve it. Lord, I'm not saying that any of us who are standing here deserve any kind of miracle, but I do know you have a miracle with our name on it. You've got one for Willie. You've got one for Janice. You've got one for Lucy. You've got one for Irma. You've got one for Israel. You've got miracles for Ophelia, Father God. You've got miracles for us all, Lord. You've got one for Barney. You've got one for Ken, one for Leslie, for all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands and praise him and thank him for what he is about to do in your life. Father, you are doing so much, Father God. We can't see it, but in the spirit, you are doing it. You're working on our behalf because you see us standing, facing the wall, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, that when we go from here, Father, we will not blow through these next 15 years, Father God, but we will serve you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. Father, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Use us for your glory, Lord. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, and may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When there's no hope, there's hope. Father, I give you glory in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We are your people. We are your people. Holy, holy, holy. You are our God. You are our King, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.